My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Hoffman Show on a Monday on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Ding. Coming up in just a little bit, our 53-player roster projection, although we are going to try to aim for 70. We know that obviously they will be bringing in some players from the outside, and thus there will not be 70 current commanders that are 70 commanders on, this time tomorrow. The 4 o'clock deadline now just under 24 hours away, but we're going to give it our best shot and talk through it all, and really the analysis is what you come for. Not the actual list. So we will get to it all coming up at 4:30. Not very much time until we do our final roster projection. But first, it is the day after a Commanders game, and thus it is time for First and 10.
It's time to get the breakdown started. 1, 2, 3, 4. First up, 10 observations.
Just took it and just boom, put it right on the ground.
It's First and 10.
All right, here we go.
Number one.
And the most important thing, honestly, from the Commanders game against the Patriots is not the Commanders and Patriots that played. It's the Commanders that didn't. It was fairly surprising to see just how thorough the inactive list was for a couple of reasons that I'll get into more specifically in number two and three. But if we take an even wider view of that, my biggest takeaway from the game is I think it's pretty fascinating the Commanders treated this final week as many other teams are. So this is not a criticism. It's not a, hey, they messed up. It's just an observation with no value assigned. That they don't really see this as a useful tool to prepare for the season anymore. Preseason has been so devalued. And the more teams that treat it like this, the more true it becomes. It is in some ways a self-fulfilling prophecy. But Logan put it very succinctly this morning when we were talking on Take Command. He goes, until you have game planning, you're not playing NFL football. And so because teams don't game plan at this point ever in the preseason, it gets to a point where the preseason games are really not that different from joint practices or even your regular practices. And in some ways, those joint and regular practices are more beneficial in terms of preparation than an actual preseason game. Of course, there is something to finishing your blocks, actually tackling to the ground. There's a skill sharpness that you get out of preseason that you can't get in practice. And I do think teams utilize the preseason for some of that stuff, which is why you have guys playing weeks one and week two. Or Carolina took the method where they said, no, we're going to ramp up into the third preseason game. So guys didn't play the first 2 weeks, and Carolina actually played their starters this weekend. So there are different ways of going about it, but this all started from a tweet that I got from at DC Pac-Man, I believe was who sent it. And he goes, why did Emmanuel Forbes play? And I had, because I was on Twitter, I was in snarky brain, and I was like, duh, because he's a starter, and he's making the team, and that's not in question. But then I was like, wait, don't hit send on that yet. Like, that's why, but is it, I don't think that's the point here. I think the point is he's going like, why didn't Forbes get more reps? They want to get him more reps. Why doesn't, don't some of the receivers get more reps? Like, there's these young players that clearly could benefit from the experience. So why don't you give them the experience? And the answer, the retort would simply be the experience isn't actually either that that useful for the player or that instructive for the evaluator. And if you're not going to get a whole lot out of it and you're not going to learn anything new, at that point, you still have all the risk of playing a football game and in terms of injury. And why would you hurt someone that is in your plans for the roster? And I guess that's the logic. I don't know that I fully agree with it. I do think that there probably should be some more guys playing. Like, if I was running a team, I'd probably do it slightly differently. But I also fully understand it and would be very open to hearing whether it's Dan or Adam or whoever is driving that ship, whoever's got the most information on that in terms of why they handled this the way they did. I'd be open to learning more and hearing more specifically why they chose to do that. And would be open to the fact that I'm wrong in that doing, even, you know, having some of the younger players play more, actually the juice isn't worth the squeeze.
Number two.
With that said, there's a couple of guys that I definitely would have expected to play that are healthy, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I guess you're 100% on the team. And frankly, one of them was a bit of an oversight on mine and Logan's part when we did our 53. And Anthony, I'll take the L on this one because, you know, we didn't even consider this guy when we did our 53 on Friday because we based it off the Tate Command 53. And that's Michael Davis. Like, obviously, he's making the team. You know, I had said, hey, like, I don't know. He hasn't had a good spring. There's a couple other young corners. Or he hadn't had a great summer. Like, there's a couple other young corners. I think it's pretty clear BSJ and Forbes are going to start, or Sainer still and Forbes are going to start. And then Mikey will slide inside on three receiver sets. But Michael Davis is making the team. So he's one of those. And then the other one is Jamison Crowder. And that one is less surprising to me on some respects. Like, Davis is kind of obvious, I guess, so maybe it's not. But I think that one's less surprising to me than it is a lot of other people. Jamison Crowder is their number one punt returner, and he hasn't taken a punt return the entire preseason. Why? Because they're that confident in him. They know what he can do. And as a receiver, he's just reliable. Like, they know what he is. And I think especially with the Dotson trade, you look at it and you go, okay, if they see Jahan as a slot receiver, how much different is Jamison Crowder, or how much better at it potentially even is Jamison Crowder with the years of experience he has in the slot? And clearly they don't see that much of a difference. I think they're very different players, but for what they want, apparently Crowder's the right guy. So I will not be surprised if this roster ultimately has five receivers on it and it's the five dudes who didn't play yesterday. I think there's a couple other guys that have a chance, but there definitely could be just those five. And speaking of,
number three,
third observation from the game is that they didn't, it kind of goes hand in hand with the last two. I'm kind of surprised they didn't play the receivers. Not because De'Ami Brown needs to prove his spot on the team, not because, you know, Luke McCaffrey needs to prove his spot on the team. Simply because you had a chance to get more information on these guys to understand where to slot them. It was another chance in a game. And by the way, for as much as we said in that, you know, in my first bullet point, if you will, or as much as I said, the more teams that do this, no game planning, not playing guys, the more true it becomes that it's not worth it. New England played their guys last night. You had a chance to go up against a number one offense or number one defense, and you didn't need to put your number one offense out there. You could have played De'Ami Brown and Luke McCaffrey for a quarter with Jeff Driskel against the New England ones and seen how they handled it. No Dotson out there, etc. And that would have been a good data point to decide playing time. But they clearly feel like they have a really good assessment of where everybody is. They chose to not do that. I thought that was interesting. Again, I'm not going to sit here and arrogantly proclaim that they're wrong by any stretch of the imagination, because they have more information than me. And this is one of those situations where I look at the information they have and go, I just got to trust them on this one. But it is something that's worth pointing out, that not only did they not do any more evaluation, or did they limit the evaluation to the end of the roster guys, or not just the super lock starters, it's the guys battling for minutes that are on the roster for sure, but we don't know in what role. Those guys didn't get any time last night either. All right, that's our top three observations from the game. Next, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's because 3 plus 7 is 10, and it's 1st and 10. The next 7 have to do with actual players who played. We'll get to those next on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980, and always live as well on the free Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
At some point at a time later in the show, Anthony, we can tell everybody what just happened in that commercial break. Just a minor heart attack of a tech issue. But it's okay. We're here. We're back. We're good. We're rolling. I'm in my account. I have all my notes. All the things are working, and that means Anthony that we can resume. First and 10. All right, let's get to it. The players from the actual game: Commanders 20, Patriots 10.
Number 4.
So the guy that everyone's going to want to talk about today, and for good reason, is Martavis Bryant. Big ol' 88 was big ol' 88. He got to it down the field multiple times. Got a couple of pass interference flags. Couple of catches, including the touchdown from McSorley when he just used, you know, went all big body on the slant. Like, it wasn't even pretty. It was just like, I am literally going to run up to the goal line, turn, put my butt into the defender, and be a huge human. And that is a skill set that you cannot teach. That was awesome. But he's doing it against dudes that aren't going to make the New England Patriots, who are one of the worst teams in the league. So I think it's important to remember the context here, that Bryant still has been doing everything that he's been doing against twos and threes, if not fours, guys that are not going to be starters in the NFL. That doesn't mean that he can't, in practice, you know, go out and do good work and progress. And now if he's going to be on the practice squad, potentially do it against Forbes and St. Juice and be killing them consistently, then maybe he gets called up. So I would say right now, Martavis Bryant on track, not on the roster, although he's certainly done a tremendous job considering the time he's been here to give himself a chance.
Number 5.
All right, number 5. I thought maybe the two best players in the game yesterday, Phil Mathis and John Ridgeway. They were both awesome interior defensive linemen. I'll tell you right now, I'm going to find a way to get both on our 53 coming up here in about 20, 25 minutes when we get to the defense. Those dudes are quick. They're explosive. They made plays. They made plays in the run. They made plays as pass rushers. They have forced the issue in the way you'd love to force the issue. And I think that there is also a chance, and I'm going to credit John Kime for this because he's the one who said it, there's a chance that one of them gets traded. Ridgeway is a guy that's flashed in the last couple of years. Mathis is a guy that was a former second-round pick. John said on his podcast that apparently the Commanders have already gotten calls on Ridgeway, and this was, you know, John recording this after the game last night, presumably, or first thing this morning. So there is definitely a chance that one of them doesn't make it because they are on another team and the Commanders have gotten something in return, because ultimately these guys are fourth, fifth string guys. They are not getting a ton of reps over John Allen, Daron Payne, and Johnny Newton. This is the next guy in that rotation. But both of them have made a tremendous case to be here, and they just unfortunately don't fit the body type that Dan Quinn likes to use heavier of traditionally. He likes to use, for instance, like he did last night, KJ Henry as a three technique, take an edge, long, you know, speedy, explosive athlete, and let's bump him inside on a third down or in a two-minute situation, which is even less reps for one of these guys. So I tend to think that they've got Mathis over Ridgeway. Ridgeway was awesome last night. Mathis was excellent last night. So just, you know, for right now, hat tip to those guys, and we'll sort it out as we go.
Number six.
Cole Turner. Man, that dude's bag stays mixed. Like the catch down the field from him last night, that's big time. The penalty, that's big time bad. The drops in the first half, I would say a couple things on those. One, I'm not entirely sure those are his fault. The first one's a really good play by DB. It's not a very good ball. Cole does a good job to get his hands on it and make it a fight. But I don't really put that, like, that's not a negative on Cole Turner by any stretch of the imagination. The second one, it depends on who was right. It's a miscommunication between Driscoll and Turner. One seems to be reading man, as Chris Collinsworth said on the broadcast. The other one's reading zone. And, well, if Cole Turner read it correctly, then that's on Jeff Driscoll. And if he didn't, that's on Cole Turner. But it's and that ball's thrown with zero touch. It's just a flamethrower. Outside of Cole Turner, it's not great. But I also think when Dan Quinn said after the game, there's guys that were tight early on, and they played better in the second half because they played a little bit more relaxed, and they just wanted it so bad. Like, I think Cole Turner falls into that camp. And so if they think that Cole Turner, they can get in a better headspace when it's not this, like, hey, dude, your job is on the line today game, then maybe, or he learns from this and they think that's good enough. He's done enough in camp to make it interesting as a fourth tight end. I don't know if that's ultimately good enough to get him on. We're going to play with the numbers here in a sec, but damn, that dude's got a mixed bag last night in that game.
Number seven.
Kaz Allen. Everyone wants him to be on the team except for me. Nothing personal to Kaz. He just doesn't do it for me. Do we know he's twitchy and explosive and there's quote-unquote potential, but he hasn't actually done it. Like, I've watched a lot of dudes in preseason that are special athletes that go out and produce. Rashad Ross, my era on the beat, being number one, right? Like, Rashad Ross would go out and make plays, and then when he finally got in the league, he had a kickoff return for a touchdown. He had a long touchdown, and yeah, he made a ton of mental mistakes and drove coaches nuts, but, like, at least you'd sometimes go, oh, that's why that dude's on the team. Steven Sims, a couple years ago, the punt returner. Like, he'd show it. You'd be like, oh, that's why that dude's on the team, despite all the other stuff that drives you nuts sometimes. Kaz Allen has yet to actually make a big, giant play as a running back, as a receiver, as a returner, and last night was more of the same. So I'm out on Kaz Allen for the 53. If they want to keep him developing him and try to teach him how to read blocks better and stuff like that and unlock his athleticism, I'm perfectly fine with that. I'll probably put him on the practice squad, but I'm not putting him on the 53.
Number eight.
Noah Igbinoghene did not have a good day at the office. I don't think it matters. Number 19, Chisaw playing cornerback. Yep, heck of a throw by Drake May on that out route for the touchdown that beats him. Like, that's a silly velocity throw, but you can't have that happen. You just make the tackle. They went for the pick. But also, you know, we've talked about this. There's some routes they want these guys to jump, and if you get beat by the throw, then you get beat by the throw, and you're supposed to have help behind you, and there should have been someone else behind him. That should have not been a touchdown. There's a couple other plays where he gets beat in coverage, but he's generally had a phenomenal camp, and I think overall, you have to look at the totality of the practices, the other games. You can't let the last data point be so much more important than everything else. So I think Noah Igbinoghene is safe, despite the fact that he had a bad day at the office.
Number nine.
Good for Cade York. Good for the Anthony. We had a kicker yesterday wearing burgundy, well, black, but burgundy and gold in theory, in spirit, and he made kicks. I, for one, like that. I like the kicks that go through the uprights.
You like it? Love it.
Also, Logan, who's down on the field, obviously, because he's doing the radio broadcast now, he said the ball flies off his foot. So maybe they got their kicker.
Ooh.
Are we finally going to be able to take the TBD line off of the kicker in the roster chart?
I mean, there are some kickers out there still, though. I think they'll take their time.
I think it's definitely possible that they go somewhere else, but we'll see. Cade York, good for him. And you know what? My last one, Anthony, number 10.
Number 10.
Good for Trace McSorley, man. That is not easy to do what he's done the last couple weeks. Come in on a Thursday, and by 10 days later, you've played two games, and in the second one, Like, you make a bunch of plays. And is it smooth operational NFL offense? Hell no. Hell no. He's running around like a crazy man. He's delivering blows. But, like, go make plays, dude. I loved what I saw from Trace McSorley yesterday. And Dan, you know, talked about it in the press conference, how cool it is for McSorley and Bryant to connect on that touchdown, considering they showed up in Miami kind of basically together. And so good for Trace McSorley. You just never know when the end is going to be. And I hope that that performance helps Trace McSorley stay in an NFL building, whether it's this one or somewhere else, that someone goes, hey, you're worth a practice squad spot. You're worth keeping around. We know if, God forbid, you had to play, you're going to be a freaking gamer. And he's apparently, you know, great kid and is good to have in the room. So, like, that's a valuable asset to have in a quarterback room. And, you know, you just, for a guy that was on his couch a couple weeks ago thinking his NFL dream might be over, hat tip and round of applause for the kid from Ashburn, Trace McSorley. And that'll wrap up our first and 10. We get back, time to number crunch. 53-man roster projection. We dive into the offense next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.